Wavering flares of light and undulating flutters of darkness radiated up his arms, gathering at his chest as he rose up. He was gathering his magic, preparing to unleash it against Richard. Richard went for his sword. Kara shoved Richard again and rebounded back at the legate, backhanding him across his bloody mouth. The legate whirled, redirecting his rage at her. Cat quick, Kara spun past him, striking him again, turning his attention away from Richard as he followed her. His magic already gathered, he unleashed it at her. The air thumped and at the same time seemed to oscillate. The legate went down with a grunt of pain. Kara was on him before he hit the ground. She pressed her Aegil to his throat. "You are mine now," she sneered as he gagged in agony. "Your magic is mine now."
"Kara!" Colin yelled. "Don't kill him!"
The six sisters were squatting down in a shivering clump, hugging one another in terror. Colin put a hand to the frightened sisters, reassuring them that they wouldn't be harmed.
"Kara, don't hurt him," Colin said. "He carries a message from the Temple of the Winds."
Kara's head came up. She had a disturbing look in her eyes.
"I know. It came to him with magic. His magic is mine now. The message he carries is embedded within his magic."
Richard let his sword drop back into its scabbard.
"You mean, you know the message?"
Kara nodded, her blue eyes filling with tears.
"I know it with him. I share his magic, his knowledge of the message."
"Ulic! Egan!" Richard said. "Clear the soldiers out. Shut the doors. Keep everyone out."
As Ulic and Egan were ushering the soldiers out, Richard seized the legate by the robes at his throat and lifted him. He heaved him into a chair. Richard towered over the suddenly meek-looking, panting Andolian leader. His chest heaving, Richard gripped the amulet and Reyna's Aegil in a fist. The muscles in his jaw flexed as he pointed at the legate's face.
"Let's have the message, and you had better tell it true. Thousands of people have already died while you delayed your arrival to get drunk."
"The message from the winds is for two people."
Richard looked up. The words had come not only from the legate, but also from Kara. She had spoken the words along with him.
"Kara, do you know the message too, just as he does?"
Kara looked as surprised as Richard.
It came to me as it came to him. I knew only that he carried a message. He didn't know it until he spoke it. I knew it when he did."
"Who was the message for?"
Colin knew.
"For wizard Richard Rawl and for mother confessor Colin Amnell."
Once again, both had spoken the words.
"What is the message?" Richard asked.
Colin knew. She went to Richard's side, taking his hand in hers, holding it for dear life. The room was empty of everyone except Richard, Colin, Kara, Legate Rishi, and the six sisters, cowering under a table. The lamps around the room dimmed as if their wicks had been turned down. It cast them all in an eerie, wavering light. The legate, his face gone blank, looked to have gone into a trance. He rose from the chair, blood still dripping from his chin, his arm lifted, pointing at Richard. Only he spoke this time.
"The winds summon you, wizard Richard Rawl. Magic has been stolen from the winds and used in this world to cause harm. You must wed in order to enter the Temple of the Winds. Your wife is to be one named Nadine Brighton."
Unable to speak, Richard brought Colin's hand to his heart, holding it there in both of his hands. Kara's arm lifted, pointing at Colin. Only she spoke, this time, in a frigid, heartless voice.
"The winds summon you, Mother Confessor Colin Amnell. Magic has been stolen from the winds and used in this world to cause harm. You must wed in order to help wizard Richard Rawl enter the Temple of the Winds. Your husband is to be one named Drefan Rawl."
Richard dropped to his knees. Colin sank down beside him. She thought she should feel something. She felt only numbness. It seemed a dream. She had thought it would never come. Now that it was happening, it seemed too fast, as if she were tumbling over a cliff, grasping for a handhold but finding nothing to stop her fall as she plunged into icy blackness. It was over. Everything was over. Her life, her dreams, her future, her joy was over. It only remained to act it out until the end.
Richard's ashen face looked up from Kara's feet.
Kara, please, I'm begging you, don't do this to us.
His voice broke.
Dear spirits, please don't do this to us, Kara.
Kara's cold blue eyes stared back.
I do not do this to you. I only bear the message from the winds. You must both agree to this if you wish to enter the Temple of the Winds.
Why must Colin marry?
The winds require a virgin bride.
Richard's eyes darted to Colin. He looked back to Kara.
She isn't a virgin.
Yes, she is, Kara said.
No, she's not!
Colin put her forehead against the side of Richard's face as she gripped his muscular neck, hugging herself to him.
Yes, Richard, I am,
she whispered. In this world, I am. Shota told me that that was all that mattered to the spirits.
In this world, in our world, the world of life, I am a virgin. We were together in another world. It doesn't apply here. That's crazy, he whispered in a hoarse voice. That's just crazy.
It fulfills the requirements of the winds, Kara said. This is the only chance you will be offered,
the legate said.
If you do not take it, then the obligation of the winds to remedy the damage will be ended.
Please, Kara, Richard whispered. Please, don't do this. There has to be another way.
This is the only way.
Kara, in her red leather, towered above them.
It is up to you whether you will repair the damage. You must agree. If you fail to answer the call, it will not come again, and the magic released will run free. The winds wish to know your answer,
the legate said.
You must both agree to this of your free will. It must be a true marriage in all aspects. It must be for life. You must both be of honest intent in your marriages and faithful to the ones you wed. He speaks the truth of the winds. What is your answer?
Kara asked in a voice like ice. Colin looked through the watery blur into Richard's eyes. She could see him dying behind those eyes.
It is our duty. Only we can save those people. But I will say no if you wish it, Richard. How many more Rainas must die in my arms? I couldn't ask you to have me at the cost of another life.
Colin swallowed the wail.
Is there anything? Do you know of anything we could do to stop the plague?
Richard shook his head.
I'm sorry. I have failed you. I haven't found a way around this.
You haven't failed me, Richard. I couldn't bear to think we were the cause of more death, like Rainus today.
She threw her arms around his neck.
I love you so much, Richard.
Richard's big hand held her head to him.
We are agreed, then. We must do this.
Richard brought her to her feet with him. There was so much she wanted to say to him. No words came. When she looked into Richard's eyes, she knew words weren't needed. They turned to Kara and the legate.
I agree. I will marry Nadine.
I agree. I will marry Drefin.
Colin fell into Richard's arms as she lost control of her tears. She sobbed in agony. Richard embraced her, nearly squeezing the life out of her. Kara and the legate were suddenly there, pulling them apart.
You are each promised to another, Kara said. You may not do this now. You must each be loyal to your mates.
Colin looked past the legate into Richard's eyes, each of them knowing that they had embraced for the last time. In that moment, her world ended. Chapter 56 Colin and Richard sat apart, with the legate and Kara between them. Colin heard the doors open. It was Nadine and Drefin. After Ulic had let them in, he closed the doors. Richard raked his hair back as he rose. Colin didn't want to test her legs yet. It had all slipped through her fingers. Everything was lost to duty. Nadine eyed everyone in the room. The legate, his six wives, Kara, Colin, and finally Richard as he walked haltingly to her. Richard stared at the floor.
You both
Know that the plague was started with magic. I told you both how it was stolen from the Temple of the Winds. The temple has sent its requirements if I am to be allowed to enter and stop the plague. The temple requires that both Colin and I wed. The temple has named who it is it requires we wed. I'm sorry that both of you have been tangled in this. I don't know the reason. The temple will not explain why it must be so, only that this is our only chance to halt the plague. I can't force either of you to be part of this. I can only ask. Richard cleared his throat, trying to steady his voice. He lifted Nadine's hand. He couldn't look her in the eye. Nadine, will you marry me? Nadine's gaze immediately went to Colin. Colin wore her confessor's face, as her mother taught her. Duty, as her mother had taught her. Nadine glanced to the others, and then back to the top of Richard's head.
Do you love me, Richard?
Richard finally looked up into her eyes. No. I'm sorry, Nadine, but no, I don't love you. She was unruffled by the answer. Colin was sure that she had expected it.
I'll marry you, Richard. I'll make you happy. You'll see. You'll come to love me in time.
No, Nadine, Richard whispered, I won't. We will be husband and wife if you agree to this, and I will be faithful to you. But my heart will always belong to Colin. I'm sorry to say such a harsh thing to you when I'm asking you to marry me, but I won't deceive you. Nadine thought a moment.
Well, many marriages are arranged, and they turn out well in the end.
She smiled at him. To Colin it looked a sympathetic smile.
The spirits have arranged this one. That means something. I will marry you, Richard.
Richard glanced back at Colin. It was her turn. She saw in those dead gray eyes a glimmer of something. Rage. Colin knew that his insides were being torn apart the same as were hers. She found herself before Drefn before she realized it. The first time she tried, her voice wouldn't come out. It simply wouldn't. She tried again.
Drefn, will you be my husband?
His blue, dark and raw eyes appraised her without emotion. For some reason, she recalled his hand between Kara's legs, and she almost vomited. As Nadine said, I could do worse than a marriage arranged by the spirits. I don't suppose there's any chance you will ever come to love me. Colin's jaw trembled as she stared at the floor. Her voice wouldn't work. She shook her head. Well, no matter. We may still have some good times. I'll do it. I will marry you, Colin. She was glad that she had never told Richard about what Drefn had done to Kara. If she had, Richard might have lost control when Drefn said he would marry Colin and pulled free his sword. Kara and the Legate stepped forward.
It is agreed, then,
they said as one.
The winds are pleased to have the consent of all involved.
When? Richard asked in a hoarse voice. When do we... And when can I get into the Temple of the Winds? People are dying. I have to help the winds put a stop to it.
Tonight,
Kara and the Legate said as one.
We will leave immediately for Mount Kimmermost. You will be wed tonight as soon as we arrive there.
Colin didn't ask how they would get to a place that wasn't there anymore. It didn't really matter to her. The only thing that really mattered to her was that they would be wed that very night.
I'm sorry about Raina, Nadine said to Richard. How is Bradeen doing?
Not well. She's up at the keep. Richard turned to Kara. Can we stop up there on our way? I must tell her what has happened. She will have to stay to guard the slough until I return. I have to tell her.
And I'd like to give her something to help her feel better, Nadine said.
It is permitted,
Kara said in that awful, icy voice. Bradeen looked terror-stricken when Richard told her. She threw her arms around him and wept with twin misery. The slough watched from her well, frowning with curiosity.
Nadine mixed things from pouches in her big bag, giving Berdine instructions on when to take them, promising that it would help her get through her grief. Richard tried to tell Berdine everything he could think of that she might need to know. Colin could almost feel time tingling against her flesh as it flew past, as she plunged and plunged into the black depths.
"We must go,"
Kara said, cutting off the stalling.
"We must ride hard to arrive before the full moon rises."
"How will I find the Temple of the Winds?" Richard asked.
"You do not find the Temple of the Winds,"
Kara said.
"The Temple of the Winds will find you, if the requirements are met."
Nadine lifted her bag before Richard.
"Can I leave this here, then? It's heavy to carry if we're coming back here anyway."
"Of course," Richard said, his voice a dead monotone. Colin was made to walk behind Richard and beside Drefin as they returned to the horses. Nadine touched Richard's back as she walked beside him. She was doing a fair job of restraining her joy over her triumph, yet it was a touch meant to send a message. He belonged to her now. At the bottom of the keep road, as they turned away from the city, Colin could hear the men with the dead carts calling out for people to bring out their dead. Soon that would be ended, as the suffering and death of the plague was ended. Only in that did she find any solace. The children, their parents, would live. If only it had come in time for Raina. Berdine hadn't said that, but Colin knew that that thought was screaming in her head. Richard had ordered all their guards to remain. When Ulick and Egan had seen the look on his face, they hadn't argued. Only Richard and Nadine, Colin and Drefin, Kara, the Legate, and his six wives rode out for Mount Kimmermost. Colin didn't know how any of it was going to work, getting into the Temple of the Winds, nor did Richard. She didn't have the slightest curiosity about it. The only thing she could think about was Richard marrying Nadine. Colin was sure that Richard could think of nothing but her marrying Drefin. As they rode, Drefin told stories, trying to keep everyone entertained, trying to lift their spirits. Colin didn't hear much of it. She watched Richard's back. Her only need was to be looking when he glanced back at her, as he did from time to time. She couldn't bear not to look at him, yet meeting his eyes was like a hot knife searing into her heart. She took no joy in the mountainous country they rode into, the greening grass, unfurling ferns, budding trees. The day was warm, compared to what the weather had been for spring so far, but the sky brooded with dark clouds. Before the day was out, she expected they would encounter a storm. The Andolians cringed every time their eyes turned up. Colin pulled her cloak tighter around herself. She thought about her blue wedding dress back in her room that she planned to wear when she married Richard. She felt herself getting angry at him. He had seduced her into thinking she could have love, could have happiness, seduced her into forgetting she had only duty, seduced her into loving him. When she realized she was angry at him, the tears came again, running down her face in a silent torrent. This wasn't happening just to her. It was happening to him, too. They shared this torment. She thought about the first time she saw him. It seemed so long ago that she had been running from Darkin Rawl's assassins, and Richard had helped her. She thought about all the things they had done together, all the times she stood watch while he slept, and she gazed at him, imagining being just a normal woman who could fall in love, instead of a confessor who had to keep her feelings secret and live a loveless life of duty. Richard had found a way, though, found a way that she, a confessor, could have love, and now it was in ashes. Why would the spirits do this to them? The answer came when she remembered her talk with Shota and with the spirit. There were not only good spirits, but evil spirits, too. Those evil spirits had a hand in this. They were the ones who wanted this, who demanded it as the price of the path. The spirits who demanded that price were worse than evil. Late in the morning, they stopped to rest the horses and eat. Nadine and Drefin talked with their mouths full. The legate sat back as his wives fed him. He had a hard time, what with his cut lip. They rubbed their legs against his, giggling as he took food from their fingers. They ate between offering him bites. Kara ate in silence. Colin didn't notice what any of them had to eat. She and Richard didn't eat. They both sat on the sunny rocks like deadwood, silent, sullen, staring at nothing. When the others had finished with their meal, Richard watched as they all mounted up again. Even though none of the others noticed it, Colin could see the smoldering rage in his eyes. The spirits had chosen Drefin to wound him. They could have done nothing worse.
"How's the arm?"
Nadine asked Drefin as they all started out again. Drefin held it up and flexed his fingers in demonstration. "Nearly good as new." Colin ignored their conversation. All morning they had chattered. In her silent world, it was barely noticed.
"What is wrong with your arm, Master Drefin?"
one of the six sisters asked. "Oh, some miscreant didn't like the way I try to purge the world of sickness." Big black eyes blinked at him.
"What did he do to you?"
Drefin straightened haughtily in his saddle.
"Cut me with his knife. Tried to kill me, the filthy scum." "Why did he not succeed?"
Drefin dismissed the incident with an arrogant wave.
"Once I showed him some steel, he ran for his life." "I sewed his wound," Nadine told the amazed sisters. "And a deep one it was, too."
Drefin cast a glance at Nadine that seemed to make her shrink in her saddle.
"I told you, Nadine, it's nothing. I don't want sympathy. A lot of people are in much greater need than I."
He relented when he saw the sheepish look on her face. "But you did a good job, as fine as any of my healers would have done. You did a fine job, and I appreciate it." Nadine smiled as they rode on. Drefin pulled up the broad hood of his flaxen cloak.
"Dear spirits," she thought, "that is to be my husband.
For the rest of my life, this is to be my partner in life." Until she could die and be with Richard again, sweet death could not come soon enough. Clarissa wiped her sweaty palms together as she peered through the keyhole and listened to Nathan speaking with the sisters in the other room.
"I'm sure you can understand, Lord Rawl," Sister Jodel said. "This is for your own safety, too."
Nathan chuckled.
"How good of the Emperor to consider my well-being."
"If, as you say, Richard Rawl will be eliminated tonight, then you have nothing to be concerned about. We will bring it afterwards. Surely this would be satisfactory."
Nathan shot them a hot glare.
"I told you Jigang's plan has worked. Richard Rawl will be eradicated tonight. You will learn not to question me after tonight, I pray."
Clarissa had to strain to see Nathan through the keyhole as he turned away from the two sisters while he considered. He turned back to them.
"And he has agreed to everything else?"
"Everything,"
Sister Wilhelmina assured him. "He looks forward to having you as his plenipotentiary in Dehara, and is most agreeable to your offer of aid with the books of prophecy he has collected over the years."
Nathan grunted. "Where are they? I don't know that I'm amenable to traveling all over the old world just to have a look at worthless volumes. I have business in Dehara, after all. As the new Lord Rawl, I will need to consolidate my authority."
"His Excellency has anticipated that this would be inconvenient for you, and so has suggested that he will have his wizards pull out things of interest and have them sent to you for your analysis."
Clarissa knew what the sister was talking about. Before they had arrived, Nathan had told her that he probably wouldn't be allowed to have a look at the prophecies Jigang possessed, much less be told where they all were. Jigang would want Nathan to see only selected volumes that had been screened by others first. Nathan finally turned his full attention to the two sisters.
In due time. Once we have worked together and brought the new world to task, and have come to fully trust one another's word, then I will happily accept visits by Jigang's lapdogs. But until then, I'm sure our Emperor understands that I am leery of allowing those with the gift to know exactly where I am. That is why I will be leaving at once."
Sister Jodel sighed.
"As I said, he would be happy to have it brought to you. But you can understand that he would have cause for concern to have a wizard of your power, whose mind is a mystery to him, approach too closely. While he is eager for this arrangement, he is a man who takes precautions."
"As am I," Nathan said. That is why I can't allow the book to be brought to me. Having you meet me here again today is the last risk I intend to take. In the meantime, I want that book. Until I have it, I have no way of knowing if it's safe for me to go to Dahara.
His Excellency understands, and has no disagreement with your request. His objective will soon be complete, and he therefore has no further need of the book. Besides, a world without people to work for him would be of little value. The book only works for Sister Amelia, since she was the one who went to the Temple of the Winds to recover it. He has offered to let you have either the book or Sister Amelia. If you wish, we will send her to you.
So Jigang will know where I am? I don't think so, sister. I'll take the book.
That, too, is agreeable with His Excellency. We can send it, or have someone meet you to deliver it to you. He objects only to you yourself coming to get it, for safety reasons, as I've already explained.
Nathan rubbed his jaw as he thought.
What if I sent someone back with you? A representative, someone with my interests in mind, someone loyal to me, so I had no need to fear that Jigang would delve into their mind and find where I was to be. Someone without the gift. He would have no need to fear them.
Without the gift? Sister Jodel thought a moment. And we could test them without your shields around them to ensure that they in fact did not have the gift?
Of course. I want this relationship with Jigang to work for both of us. I wouldn't jeopardize it by trying to deceive him. I want to build trust, not destroy it.
Nathan hesitated, clearing his throat.
But you understand, though, that this person is valued to me. If anything were to happen to her, I would view it in the harshest light.
Both sisters smiled.
Her? Of course,
Sister Wilhelmina said.
Why, Nathan?
Sister Jodel rocked on her heels as she smiled.
You really have been enjoying your freedom.
I mean it, Nathan said in a level tone. Anything happens to her and the entire agreement is ended. I'm sending her as a show of my faith in Jigang, in our agreement. I'm taking the first step of trust so that the Emperor will see that I am sincere.
We understand, Nathan, Sister Jodel said, more serious now. No harm will come to her.
When she leaves with the book, I want her escorted to safety beyond Jigang's troops, and then left to be on her way. If she is followed, I will know it. If she is followed, I will view it in the most unfavorable light, as a sign of hostility toward me and an attempt on my life.
Sister Jodel nodded. Understood, and very reasonable. She comes with us, gets the book, and returns safely to you without being followed, and we are all happy.
Good, Nathan said decisively, as if closing the deal. After tonight, Jigang will be rid of Richard Rawl. When I have the book safely in hand, then I will have the Southern Army surrender to Jigang's expeditionary force as my part of the bargain.
Sister Jodel bowed. We have an agreement, Lord Rawl. His Excellency wishes to welcome you to the Empire as his second.
Nathan turned toward the door Clarissa was kneeling behind. Clarissa jumped up and rushed to the far window. She drew back the drapes with a hand and pretended to be gazing out when she heard the door open.
Clarissa!
Nathan called. She turned to see him standing in the doorway holding the doorknob. Beyond him, she could see the two sisters watching.
Yes, Nathan. You wish something?
Yes, Clarissa. I would like you to go on a small journey for me, a bit of business. I need you to go with my friends out here.
Clarissa guided her full skirts around the writing table and followed him out into the other room. Nathan introduced her to the two sisters. The two women wore knowing, smug smiles. They glanced to her cleavage and then at each other. Clarissa had that feeling of being judged as a whore again.
Clarissa, you will leave at once with these ladies. When you reach your destination, they will give you a book. You will then return with it. You remember where I told you we would be off to tomorrow?
Yes, Nathan.
You will meet me there after you have the book. No one at all, is to know where it is you will be meeting me. Do you understand?
Yes, Nathan.
I'll go see to getting her a horse, Sister Wilhelmina said.
A horse?
Clarissa gasped.
I've never ridden a horse in my life. I can't ride a horse.
Nathan waved patience at the sudden hitch in their plans.
I have a carriage. I'll have it brought around, and Clarissa can take that. There. Is that satisfactory to all?
Sister Jodel shrugged.
Horse, carriage, it makes no difference to us as long as we can test her for the gift first.
Test her all you want. I will order the carriage while you test her, and then Clarissa can pack a few things.
Agreed.
Good. That's settled, then.
Nathan turned to Clarissa, putting his back to the two sisters.
It won't be long, my dear, and we'll be together again.
He adjusted the locket hanging from a fine gold chain, straightening it for her. He looked into her eyes.
I will be waiting for you. I've told these friends of mine that if anything happens to you, I will be more than unhappy.
Clarissa stared into his wonderful eyes.
Thank you, Nathan. I will bring the book as you ask.
Nathan kissed her cheek.
Thank you, my dear. That's good of you.
Safe journey, then.
Chapter 57. Even with the gathering dark, brooding clouds, an eerie calm hung over the summit of Mount Kimmermost. The Andolians cast uneasy glances skyward. As Colin watched Richard dismount, his golden cloak hung limp in the unnaturally still air. Dreffin offered her his hand to help her down. Colin pretended not to see it. In the fading light, the ruins were only ghostly shapes, the bones of some long extinct monster waiting to come back to life and swallow her up. Though this was the night of the full moon, the leaden clouds would totally obscure it. When the last of the daylight soon left, it would be black as death atop the forsaken peak. Nadine stood close to Richard as he stared off toward the edge of the cliff. Dreffin stood nearby, not wanting to look too forward to the woman who would shortly be his wife, but not wanting to ignore her either. Like Nadine, he didn't seem to view this as the end of his happiness. After the horses were secured, the legate and Kara ushered the brides and bridegrooms to a crumbling, circular garden structure made up of curved stone benches on one side and broken columns on the other. The top piece, connecting the columns, was mostly missing, joining only 4 of the 10 stone columns. In the distance, in the fading light, Colin could still see the knife edge of the cliff and the black swath of mountains beyond. Somewhere out there was the Temple of the Winds. Colin was directed to sit on a curved stone bench beside Dreffin, and Richard, 2 benches away, was told to sit beside Nadine. Colin glanced over and saw Richard looking back, but then Dreffin leaned forward and blocked her view of Richard. She turned her attention to the legate and Kara standing before them. The 6 sisters stood behind their husband.
"We are gathered here,"
the legate and Kara said as one,
"to wed Richard Rawl and Nadine Brighton, and to wed Colin Amnell and Dreffin Rawl. This is the most solemn of rites. It binds in the most earnest of vows, and commits these mates for life. This marriage is sanctioned and witnessed by the spirits themselves."
Colin stared at the weeds sprouting from the cracks in the disintegrating stone floor as she only partly listened to the words about loyalty, fidelity, and obligation. It was so warm and muggy that she could hardly breathe. Her white Mother Confessor's dress was sticking to her back. Sweat trickled down between her breasts. Colin's head came up when Dreffin started lifting her with a hand under her arm.
"What? What is it?"
"It is time," he said. "Come." And then she was standing before the legate and Kara, with Dreffin beside her, and 3 of the legate's wives at her other side as her attendants. She looked past Dreffin to see Richard standing beside Nadine, with the other 3 Andolians serving as her attendants. Nadine wore a smile.
"If anyone has any objections to the wedding of these people, they must speak now, for once it is done, it cannot be undone."
"I have an objection," Richard said.
"What is it?"
the legate asked.
"The winds said that this had to be of our own free will. It is not. We are being coerced into this. We are being told that people will die if we don't do this. I don't do this of my own free will. I do this only to save lives."
"Do you wish to save the lives of the people who will die if the magic stolen from the Temple of the Winds is not stopped?"
the legate asked.
"Of course I do."
"This wedding is part of that attempt. If you do not go through with it, then they will die. You wish to save them. This qualifies as your free will as far as the spirits involved are concerned. If you wish to withdraw your agreement to this, then it must be now, before the vows. Afterwards, you may not change your mind.
Muggy's silence hung in the air. She was plummeting helpless into the inky depths. It was all happening too fast for her to get a breath.
I wish to speak with Richard if I am to do this.
Before I do this, Colin said.
Alone.
The legate and Kara stared at her a moment.
Then hurry,
they said as one.
There is not much time. The moon rises.
They both walked far enough away from the circle that Colin could be reasonably sure they couldn't be heard. She stood close, facing him. She wanted Richard to save them from this. He had to save them. He had to do something now, or it would be too late.
Richard, we're out of time. Is there anything? Can you think of anything at all to stop this? Anyway, we can still save those people and not have to do this.
Richard stood close to her and yet a world away. I'm sorry. I don't have any other solution. Forgive me, he whispered. I have failed you. She shook her head.
No, you didn't. Don't ever think that, Richard. I don't. The spirits have made it impossible for us to win. They wish this and have put us in a double bind. But at least, if we go through with this, Jagang will not win. That is more important. How many lovers like us will be able to have a life now, have happiness now, have children now because of the sacrifice we make this night?
Richard smiled that smile that melted her heart. That's one reason I love you so much, your passion. Even if I never see you again, I've known true happiness with you, true love. How many ever experience even this small taste? Colin swallowed.
Richard, if we do this, we have to be true to our vows, don't we? We can't still be together sometimes, can we?
The way his jaw trembled and his eyes filled with tears was more than answer enough. Just before they fell into each other's arms, Kara was there between them.
It is time. What are your wishes?
I have a lot of them, Richard said with sudden venom. Which do you want to hear?
The winds wish to know if you will do this or not.
We will do it, Richard growled. But the spirits had better know that I will have revenge.
The winds are simply doing the only thing they can do to stop the death caused by what was stolen from them,
Kara said with sudden compassion, but still with that haunting quality that told Colin that it wasn't Kara speaking, but the winds.
They do not do this out of animosity.
A wise man once told me that dead is dead no matter the how, Richard said.
He defiantly took Colin's hand and walked with her back to the circle of stone, where they each took their places beside their chosen. Colin wore her confessor's face as she stood beside Drefn. She felt pain for Richard. He had not grown up being taught how to subjugate his emotions, his longings, his desires for duty. She had had a lifetime to prepare for this final torment. He had had a lifetime to prepare for the opposite, expecting he would have happiness. Colin had only briefly felt the warmth of that flame. With deliberate care, she ignored the words spoken to Nadine and then to Drefn, words of loyalty and devotion to their mate. Colin instead focused her mind on Richard, hoping to pass to him some strength, hoping that he could get through this so that they could save those stricken and stop the plague. Richard still had to get into the Temple of the Winds. He needed strength. Soon the ceremony would be over, and they would head back to Adendrill. Perhaps they would have to wait until Richard went into the temple and did what he had to do, and then they would return to Adendrill. In any event, it wouldn't be long, and she would be going home, home to the place she had grown up, to a life of duty to which she had been bred.
Yes or no?
The legate said. Colin looked up.
What?
He glanced up at the threatening clouds and then took a hurried breath.
Do you swear to honor this man, to obey him as the master of your home, to care for his needs when he is well and when he is ill, and to be his loyal wife in this life as long as you both live?
Colin glanced up at Drefn. She wondered what he had sworn to. I swear to whatever it is that is required of me to stop the plague.
Yes or no?
Colin let out an angry sigh. Is this what is required of me to stop the magic stolen from the winds from killing people?
It is.
In her mind, she swore the oath, but to Richard, not Drefn. She would swear words aloud to Drefn, but her heart would always be Richard's. Colin's fists tightened.
Then yes, I swear to do what is required to stop the plague. I swear not one stitch more, nor for one breath longer than that required of me.
Then in full view of the spirits and by the power of the spirits, you are now pronounced husband and wife.
Colin doubled over in sudden pain. It felt as if her insides had been torn apart. She tried to pull her breath. It wouldn't come. She saw swirling color before her wide eyes. Drefn put his arm around her waist. What is it? Colin, what's wrong? Her legs buckled, but he held her up.
It is the spirits,
came the legate and Kara's voice together.
They have bound her power. She is to lead this marriage as any woman wed to a man. Her power would have interfered.
This is the end of this cassette. This book is continued on cassette number 9. You should adjust your balance control to the full left position and continue listening on part A of cassette number 9.